Hey, kid, would you like some drugs? The first one is free.
Want to check out my van? I got some candy.
Hey, kid, want to join our gang and spray paint under a bridge?
No, no!
Bug off, man.
I'm going roller skating!
I'm Brad Armstrong, owner of Roller Kingdom in Reno, Nevada, keeping your kids off the streets since 1999.
I say no to drugs. I say no to gangs.
I say no to unplanned.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen? That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Libertarian Podcast Review. This is Tyler Yonke coming to you on a Friday night, episode 133, I think. And Andy's not here, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to do a solo show, and then some loser shows up in my DMs and is like, hey, I've got a mic that doesn't work. How about I join you? So let's bring on in Dickie. I've got a few questions for you. Dickie Walnuts, thanks for coming in and joining us. Do you roller skate?
I rollerblade. I used to skate back in my day. I used to avoid the owners of the rink because they typically did have those types of vans and offered me candy. So
yeah, that was a little bit.
My suspect. Experience has taught me better.
You're a fan.
I love how they utilized every. I'm sorry. I love how they utilized every member of the staff that they had there. Like, they had the old guy being the leader of the gang. Somehow he's the OG that avoided prison for all those years. But I guess when your crimes are only spray painting, that's what happens.
Let's go to this one here, because I didn't finish. I kind of cut it off, but there's some fascinating things here.
I say no to drugs. I say no to
cut it off. My favorite part.
I say no to unplanned pregnancy.
I say no to meth.
Hey, I say no to unplanned pregnancy.
That is correct. Yes, you do.
Yeah, or planned. Just throwing it out there. That was stellar.
I don't know if he says no, but somebody does. Yeah.
Right. A cyclist and a rollerblader. I thought I would say, yeah, exactly. Welcome, everybody. You're a fan of Pink Floyd, right?
I like Pink Floyd. They're pretty good. Oh yeah.
Okay. Do you consider them prog rock or not?
I guess it's prog. I mean, at that point, like, it's so early on, it's like, I guess you could, I don't know what prog rock is. To me, that's anything that's not metal, that's like a bit like kind of gay adjacent. So,
right. So I did open there. This song Sirius by Alan Parsons Project, who produced the album Dark Side of the Moon for Pink Floyd. And then he had his own thing, and he had a big hit in 84, 82. One of those things. And the song Sirius is the open to, like, the Bulls, you know, the Chicago Bulls would come out to that. So it was kind of a
big deal. Yeah.
Before we get going, we're going to start right here, right off the bat. We're going to talk about Fox and Sons.
Shameless plug.
I got to plug him. Absolutely love my coffee. I'm right now. I have one bag left. Let me see which one it is. I think it's Electric Boogaloo. That's the one I have going on today. Go to foxandsons.com, put in the code review for 15% off orders of 25 or more. I hope you guys are doing that, because this is some of the best coffee out there. Once again, I drink it constantly, morning till night. That's not a joke. I hope you do too. So there you go. Best coffee, Steven says. I wonder why he's saying that. I'll say it in some brother. Okay, I appreciate that. And by the way, I try to order from him as well, just because I love it and I stand by it and I use it. So there you go. Coffee tastes like shit, Tyler. No, it doesn't. Does Spock's and Sons work well for enemas? I don't know. Steve, you might need to join in on that. My boy, Dickie, what's been your week? How has your week been going? What have you been filling your life with?
It's been shit, dude. Not going to lie. Okay. I've been going to class, man. Just been working. I will say I had an actual work, if you can call it a goal. Basically a work hurdle that I've been working on since before my son was born, basically. Just this one big project we've been doing, and I finally got it done Wednesday. So that was cool, only for it to basically get swamped once more yesterday. So I'm not quite behind the eight ball, but I'm still, like, behind on the next project. But it was nice to get that huge six plus month old work project done. I've been just, that's pretty much it, man. Working, taking care of my son, playing a little guitar, and having a little fun, man.
Yeah.
That's what good. Is this?
Reed Harded said, you need to review Prayer of the Roller Boys. Do you know Roller Boys? Do you know what that is? I don't know what it is. Say what?
I know what my Roller Girls are. Like, okay. I'm familiar with that.
So he's over on Rumble. He's the one guy over there on Rumble. We do have Rumble going. So if you guys want to check that out. Projects wise, I just finished doing my floors at my house. It's been, well, when I say finished, I'm saying the most of it is done. I still have a room or two here, just kind of side stuff, the stairs, and then baseboards, but the big stuff is done. So I totally know what you're talking about, and it feels good to have that stuff done. Anything politically going on? Were you on any shows recently? I thought you were on that show. What was it? Libertarian? Not a real libertarian. Cause I saw a little thumbnail and it looked like you in a hat, but it wasn't, it was the host, I guess. But you did tell me about that show, which, by the way, his wife or girlfriend, she's been on our show. So I checked that one out and is with that Roger Mayhem guy, and he's horrible.
Yeah, Susie's pretty cool. I love Susie and Bootleg. They're some friends of mine. Very good people over in Tennessee. She's a big fan of my son. I send her so many baby pics and videos and stuff. So she loves that. Roger, I didn't know who he was. I just saw him from Twitter and stuff. He's added me into his video debate, not video, but like Twitter debate things. I was on David Lorenzo's podcast.
Tell me about it.
I was, man.
David's been in here, and obviously the Lorenzo. Okay. I've seen their podcast. David, every time he comes on, he's like, hey, check it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I will. And then I don't. But tell me about it.
So, yeah, that was actually a fun show. We talked about, like, music and stuff. David only knows about Pink Floyd. That's it. Me and Renzo talked about, like, metal and other rock stuff. The main focus was talking about how to dress nicely on a budget as far as suits, ties, things like that.
Yeah.
Because you know how I had that whole gripe about RFK wearing those like Oxford collars and like skinny ties with his business suits on TV. Right. Like, bro, you're a multimillionaire. Like, dress like it when you go on TV and talk about serious shit. So, you know, we talked about that. That was kind of the intro to it. And, cause Lorenzo, he asked me about fashion stuff too. And while I look like a caveman who lives in like a little, you know, under the bridge and shit most of the time, I used to have a bunch of nice suits. I still have a few. And I like to dress nicely when applicable. So we talked about that for a while. It was, you know, that and music, you know, we have a good time talking about that kind of stuff. There are a couple of good little kids. So they're like my little nephews, if you will.
Right. Kind of like you are with me. So
when pretty much. No, I'm your grandson, dude. Be honest.
Yeah, good point. That's not true. That would be really weird.
Son. I'll keep it at that.
Yeah. You're close to my son's age. One of them. So when COVID happened, and before then, we were going to court all the time. So you could only sometimes do what's called court call, or call in, you know, someone that weren't close up. But I was in court all the time, and you have to wear a suit. So I had a bunch of suits. Then COVID happened. They started letting us do everything by Zoom. So I wasn't, I didn't upgrade. And then I gained weight. And now I have all these suits I can't fit into, and I've got a problem. So
how much do you weigh?
I'm not going to say. I'll just say this. Before I wrecked and destroyed myself, I was about 155.
How tall are you?
6 foot. So it was right along the points of being like Holocaust victim looking, which was perfect. I loved it. Very lightweight, strong. That's just how I had to be. But yeah, so I've gained.
I'm 6'1", and like I've not been 155 since junior high, bro.
Yeah, well, we all have goals. Look.
So are you lighter than me at 190?
I'm probably close to that now. So that's not healthy going from like 155, 160 to like 180, 185 in a few months, which is what happened when I
shit. I'd be happy with 180. So, I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, I look fine, honestly, but I don't want to be that low again, because that was, you know, your upper body is just nothing really. I mean, it's whatever it is. We don't need to get into this, but it was for a purpose. So
you know what weight and body comp that you like, you know what feels the best for you. And like, I'll talk to people like that too. It's like, yeah. I feel a little chunky and a little puffy right now. They're like, oh no, you look good. It's like, well, yeah, because Americans are fat. So like, I know what I like athletically when I played sports, when I was in college and things like that. Like, I know what was a good weight and body fat percentage and body comp for myself. Like, I know what was perfect for me. So like, being over that you kind of feel disgusting. Like, it could be 5 pounds over and you feel like a fat piece of shit. So you know yourself better than they do.
Right. And for me, it was, I was like, you know, ultra fit, ultra thin for, you know, doing what I was doing. And then your body changes a bit, and I'm still eating and drinking like I was, but I'm not, you know, putting out the output to push out the calories like you need to. So that's the problem. It's whatever. It's life. My problem is mobility right now. I'm just not able to get out. I went for a bike ride this week, and my back was all screwed up again afterwards. So I don't know what to do. A lot of crying over here is what we're going through. Okay. Minder's in here. JC's in here. Loads of honey's in here. We've got a lot of good stuff going on. Let me ask you this. I'm sorry, a little burpage here. We're going to get into some, a little bit of serious stuff. How do you feel about, and just give me your overall view of the Israeli-Palestine issue, and then how do you feel about the protesters on either side?
Man, I'm so tired of this shit. Okay. You know my position on this. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm a rabid anti-Semite who might be neo-Nazi adjacent. So, as I told you the other this morning, you know, watching the takes of people that saying Israel has a right to self-defense, this is true, but Roger, so does your fucking aorta. So, like, I don't really want to hear half of y'all's takes based on some of y'all's, you know, either physique or other opinions on other things. Like, sure, of course, civilians that go to a concert shouldn't be killed by paragliders. You're going to tell me that that's a totally organic thing that happens? People just cross the most secure border on Earth, or at least in the Middle East, on some primitive little paragliders and come in and kill everybody, and that's just naturally what happens and nobody stops it. Like, Hamas came out of nowhere and nobody helped them at all throughout their whole history and things like that, and Israel is completely innocent. I mean, if we're going to ignore all that, then sure, they have a right to eradicate every person from Gaza, I guess.
Right. And I don't even want to get into that so much. But then the question is, so there's people that agree with you that are absolutely batshit crazy. And this is the problem I see right now. A lot of the neocons, the immediate pushback is, oh, you've got these hard lefties pushing for the Palestine issue. Therefore, and so they elaborate, oh, look at this. They're pro Hamas, you know, whatever. How do you feel about being joined in with some serious crazies? Because there are people out there saying, oh, Hamas is justified or whatnot. So, or ones that you would have no agreements on, but now you seem to be perhaps on the same side on one issue. How do you feel about that?
I mean, yeah, I don't really like that at all. Obviously, as you would probably feel the same. I mean, I'm sure we have different, I'm sure we have similar viewpoints on this, obviously, but most of us who want to be objective about the conflict and not support a false state of Israel that's been propped up by like the Rothschild family since the 20th century. Like, we just because we are objective about that. Thank you, Jose. Yeah, I took my hat off today after work.
You completely do. Yeah, okay.
I don't know what a Slavic boy band is, but I'm sure Jose is very.
Take a picture of yourself and duplicate it like 3 times, and then just have them all there together. That's what it would be.
Now, I did ask a question about Orthodox Christianity on the timeline, so that might help towards my Slavic identity. Gotcha. But I need to go get my tracksuit right now. But anyway, right. What I was saying, like, it's the whole if you question the narrative of Ukraine and how they got to this point over the last several years with the United States and NATO involvement, that if you question that objectively, then those are Kremlin talking points. That's the same shit with like the Palestinians. Like, if I as a Christian say I don't want, you know, the original Christians, which are Christians in Palestine. Are we good? My thing just cut out.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm sorry. What was the last thing you heard?
I don't know. It was cutting out a little bit. So about Israel. Sorry, Palestine. About that. But
yeah. But like, if I as a Christian say that I don't want the original people that had the identity to the original Christians, which are the Palestinian Christians, if I don't want them killed and I don't want their original churches being like bombed, then apparently I'm siding with Hamas. That just describes the masses' lack of critical thinking and ability to differentiate. And they're basically just falling into the whole matrix of, you know, what the media tells them.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So with that in mind, and sorry, this is what you get, Dickie. Not everything's fun and games. We're going to walk. I wrote this Substack and we're just going to kind of talk about it a little bit. I'm going to get some highlights of it because this is kind of the idea that I was going to talk about, which is I wrote it and it's, let me make it a little bigger here. I titled it Standing Around But Not With. Okay. So well, I don't know what you're fucking laughing about. So the idea I was saying here,
Jose.
Is, look, what did he say? Have you considered real? No, let me break this here to Jose. Oops, go like this.
This is a last minute.
Yeah. So let's do this for a second. So Jose, this was how it was going to be tonight. I was going to be like this, just me. And all of a sudden Dickie sends me a message, a DM. And he's like, okay, I'm good to go. Where's the link? And I'm like, hey, wait, you're joining. And then I don't have the balls to tell him I'm doing a solo show. So here he is.
It's base, dude. I just fucking infiltrate and I just get myself in and you can't say no. Like, right. What do you want me to do?
I don't really care. Okay. So look, my idea was like, look, I'm standing in line for coffee. The lady in front of me has a backpack on. This has happened the other day. Had a backpack on with a bunch of lefty slogans on there. I'm not with her. We happen to want both coffee, but I don't care about her politics. And I feel that's kind of the idea with the Zionism thing, which is, and I'm tired of this joining forces in a sense with people that I absolutely disdain, and they have, and what made me really think about that is, you know, so I talk about Zionism here, and then I saw this video with this guy, Rabbi Weiss. So I'm going to see if I can play this here real quick.
So Rabbi, can you hear this?
Okay. Did you hear that? Okay. So go ahead.
I'm good, man. Send it.
Okay.
No.
So let me premise this. He's a Orthodox Jew and he's against Zionism. He lives in New York and this is some lady here. I think she's Muslim. Obviously, let the Quran speak. It says there, she asked him a very important question. So
ally yourself with other Jews who are not Orthodox, who oppose the state of Israel?
Oh, that is a very good question. We, being that there was the reform movement like 250 years ago, and our rabbis at that time issued a fatwa, basically. Yeah, 200 of the leading rabbis of Europe, when they said this is a heresy, it's a rebellion against God. You can't reform God's Torah. They don't eat kosher. They don't keep the Ten Commandments. They don't keep the Shabbos, the Sabbath. So they said we're not to be affiliated with them. So we work with the Muslim people. We work with the Palestinian people. And they'll come to the same demonstrations, but we won't have joint activities directly. But if they're there, a lot of people who are Jewish, who are non-religious, they feel it's human rights or because even other Jewish reasons that they'll stand up in opposition. there's many, really tens and tens of thousands or more who are opposing the occupation. But we are coming from the core issue that the Zionists are claiming the legitimacy. We are telling the world that they're conning the world. It's unacceptable. So we're coming from the religious state. Mm-hmm. And he...
Okay. What do you think about what he said there? Because I personally, I heard that and I'm like, I love it. He says all the non-religious Jews basically burn in hell. I don't really care about you because you don't care about us. There's a problem here. We have a fundamental disagreement. If you want to be at the same event, that's perfectly fine. But I am not working in concert with you or with you. I'm just happen to be working on the same issue. What do you think of that?
Okay. I mean, yeah, he's just differentiating himself from like the basically what are the Khazarian Jews that have infiltrated Israel and some of the others, like the Western Jews who call themselves secular Jews. Like, he's just, you know, fuck off. I don't identify with you, because he's an Orthodox Jew, correct?
Yes, so, very much. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has nothing in common basically with, you know, what half of like the American Jews identify as.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm in favor of that. Basically, I go through more of this article. There's some more stuff here about what else did I have? I had a thing about that. And then I played some clips of part of the problem. And since this is a podcast review show, we're gonna actually go into here. So you just have to deal with this. This is with Elon.
Fuck.
And what? What?
They just have to deal with it.
Okay. Here you
go. They go, that's just obviously insane. Obviously, we're not going to be having that debate. And yet, here we are. If you talked about like any of this climate change policy and talked about it 10 years ago, they'd be like, no, it's not going to go like that. But here we are. But so as the left goes crazier and crazier and crazier, you have some of these left wingers, even the ones who have been advocating for it all along, who at a certain point go, this is getting a little crazy for me. Maybe we don't need to take this next step. And then they get attacked by the mob that they've built up over all these years. And what often happens is that then that person, you know, kind of does a heel turn, switches sides and goes, you know, becomes the old, I didn't leave the left left me. You know, one of the problems with this dynamic is that then you have these essentially left wingers who come over and start being like the right wing champions. And this kind of, it kind of keeps this whole dynamic of moving to the left going, because now the right wing becomes what the left was 5 years ago. You know what I mean? And so Right. You've almost like conceded that territory.
It's like we're on a socialism treadmill.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it just kind of keeps moving into that direction. And that's a bad direction to move to.
All right. I love the whole idea. This is going off the rails here. I love that concept with Dave talking about people coming over and then they move the position that they're new to. And then there's another clip I have, Aaron McIntyre, and he's basically saying, yeah, Ronald Reagan used to say about, the left left me. Well, that means the right came to where the left is. So that's a great concept. Point is, you can be, again, I'm just saying, there's a distinguish yourself from the crazies that happen to like this one same position, but for the most part are horrible on everything. And I think that's good to do that. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see what the next conservative position will be, just look at 10 years ago what the left was doing. That's pretty much the whole joke, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can check it out on my Substack, tyleryonke.com/substack.com. And that's where we have that. Okay, let's go to a new, see if you what you think about this. Because did you watch the presidential debates at all?
No.
Okay, so here's Dave Rubin. He says, Vivek is such an insufferable prick. my thought there is that's probably a personal thing that he's taking him on and he's got an issue with that. What do you think about gay men knocking others about how their pricks taste?
Didn't know Dave Rubin was gay, but I should have just looked at his last name and guessed.
That's what did you think about? Sorry. You did not see the debate at all, right? Is that what you said?
I saw the Vivek clips. Like, I saw his one about.
Yeah, did they make you cheer?
I don't really give a shit. I don't want to vote for
let me just caution the audience. Let's not go down this road. We've asked you to please, you know, keep restrain yourselves and would be helpful so we can hear the candidates, because these are important issues and the voters want and need to hear them.
Okay, there you go. That's what he was telling him about cheering. I don't know. What did you think about Vivek and Nikki Haley, their duel back and forth? Anything with that?
I mean, yeah, it's like eating a fucking shit sandwich versus eating shit. I guess one's nicer, but Vivek probably smells like shit. No, like Nikki Haley sucks. I saw some of it. I didn't see a lot of it. So I assume it was about like the Israel thing. And I think it was the clip where Vivek was, I think, talking about Israel. I don't remember it very well, though. I do distinctly remember him talking about we need moderators of like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan and people like that. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, OMG based.
Well, it does make sense. This is what always cracks me up is you have a GOP debate, which is especially not the presidential debate, but I mean, it's for the president, but it's for the primary, right? This is simply about Republicans selecting a Democrat selecting theirs. So then the Republicans, it's always like, how can you be better for Democrats rather than what's your most interesting concept that you might have to attract Republicans? But the question is always something like, why are you so bad on abortion? You know, it's the most lefty question out there, which I think is ridiculous. By the way, let's go to here. Jose said, that's how I got on part of the problem. Okay. I don't know. Doing what?
For having bad audio?
Having bad guests?
I think that was his answer.
yeah, and so and it is crazy that he got in there. Just as an update, Tom Woods is going to come on the show. I've DM'd with him. He's replied back. He followed me as a result. He said he will come on. I don't know that gets me on his show, but it at least gets him on my show. And so I've got that going. So while I have Dickie here, which is great, but you'll come on this show even without being invited, Tom Woods would be a good show to go on. What do you think of that?
Simping works, man. Just look at me, you know, hopping in your DMs tonight, and look at you just making all those tireless videos about Tom Woods' show when he doesn't even pay attention to you until he does.
Well, no, it's even worse than that. Let me just tell you what. So I had Pete Quinones on, and then he's like, hey, come on mine, we'll do this Leo Frank stuff. I'm like, perfectly fine. So after one of the episodes we recorded, we're backstage. We're done recording and we're just talking, and he was just texting. He's like, and there was something that came up, I forget what it was, and he's like, oh well, Tom Woods, I just was texting with him about that. And I'm like, what's the best way to get a hold of him, because I've already reached out, I'm not getting anything. And he's like, what do you need? I'll get him on the show. And I'm like no, that's not what I meant, I don't want that at all, don't. And he goes, tell you what then, you reach out to him. If he doesn't come back to you in a week, let me know and I'll get a hold of him. And then he reached out to me, Pete did. And he's like, has he responded? I'm like, no, of course not. So, he prompted Tom to come on my show. you gotta do what you gotta do. So there you go.
Thanks, Pete. You got a wingman there.
Yeah. So, Fat Dave, Cole says his dad was ragging on Vivek today.
Was the rag on his head or on his ass?
Is this a racial thing? I haven't talked. My parents are coming for Thanksgiving. I'll be interesting. They're probably just Trump or nobody. That's how they'll be. So,
I can't talk to my parents about this shit. I can't. But
that's so true.
Damn. How old were they?
Hey now.
Fuck.
Oh,
he's
sorry.
Not coming anymore.
Sorry. Shit, edit that out. That's what the class.
Let me just caution the audience. Okay.
No, man, I'm just tired of this. Just because Vivek like can see the obvious, like that everyone else can see, doesn't mean I want an Indian Hindu as president and like 8,000 more nepotistic Indian Hindus coming over. Like I really don't. Sorry.
I don't. Vivek was on. Wait a second. My wife's asking me if I'm done. I'm saying no, bitch. It's 7:30. So Vivek was on with Dave Smith just before and I thought actually he did well on his show. Like, you know, some of the questions and stuff, it was pretty good. I didn't see the whole debate because I just can't handle it. It's just so bad. The back and forth, though, he had some good stuff. So I don't know what Cole's saying his dad didn't like about him. Probably that he's not, because he was like with Dave.
Cole's dad is probably Nikki Haley.
Okay. Bomb him till the end of times. Maybe I'll see a little cheek or something like that. Does he like a little bosom? Just because, you know, I don't know. Did you hear the one about, so Nikki Haley wants to ban TikTok. Okay. And with that, then Vivek says, hey, you want to ban it? You made fun of me for getting on TikTok. Your daughter's on TikTok. And then she's like, keep your my daughter's name out of your mouth. Do you think that was over the line?
No, it's just a statement of fact. Like, it's public record if she's on TikTok. So Nikki Haley, as a woman, has no better rebuttal because she's a woman in politics. They can't fucking debate.
Gotcha. I heard something today, and I wanted to tell this little story, but before I do, maybe I'll ask you. School, when you're elementary school, what did you, was it public school, private school, Christian school? What did you end up going to?
Yeah, we had a private Christian school. That's where, elementary school. Yeah.
Did they have corporal punishment at the school?
No.
Okay.
What they could do is call your parents in. And if your parents felt like coming in and doing it, they could beat your ass, which my dad always loved doing that.
So they would hire out,
slap me around, and beat my ass every chance he got. So
they would contract out and have your dad come and beat you at the school.
Pretty much whatever implement he could get his hands on. Yes,
that's nice. I went to a private school as well, Christian school. It wasn't super conservative, but I got spanked in third grade because that's what they did back then because I was a menace. Fifth grade, I was in trouble all the time. My desk was up against the chalkboard by the teachers. So my mom's like, there's no way. So I skipped sixth grade and I went into seventh because I was bored. That's really what it was. So I go into seventh grade and we have a brand new teacher and I get in trouble there. And I've been spanked before. It's no big deal. You know, they kind of do it. Well, this time he's fit and he wants to spank me. And so they take him to this room and he and the male principal, and they had this paddle that was made out of the desktop. And he wailed on me, and I went down to the ground, probably like, you know, squirming like I had some sort of epileptic fit. It was pretty intense. I'll just say it. My parents actually moved me out of that school at the time. What do you think about corporal punishment at school, especially for maybe a Jewish school? I don't know.
Well, do they do it on the chowder or a chicken? Hey, that's what I want to know. If you touch my kid, I'm going to come in and beat your fucking ass. Like, I don't understand. Like, how's that okay? Yeah. If you, I never understood that. Like, as a parent, why are you giving consent for another person to touch your kid, let alone smack your kid? Like,
I'll say it. At this point that was the one that my parents were, my mom actually had worked for the school shortly. So she was real connected. We lived right down the school, the road from them. And so I think she had always just kind of supported what they did. And she was kind of a corporal punishment.
And person. So I wish that were true.
What'd she say here? Did I get my revenge? No, I didn't. He was a little man, by the way. He was probably, you know, like toad size or something. Can I have a big neutron noggin like Vivek and not be a Nephilim? Okay, so Nephilim, do I need to actually look? Raven and Top, they have a show.
You highlighted every comment except the one I addressed.
Which one did you address?
It was the one Benzo said moan once, and I bet they won't try and spank me anymore. I said I wish that were true.
I didn't think about it at that point in time. Easy, yeah, he was probably like 5'4", pretty fit. He was he could be in cranium. Okay, I don't know what the Nephilim is, and do I need to be interested? That's all those two posts have on there. And is it?
Do you believe in God?
Do I believe in God? What's that to you?
I'm asking you if you ask, should I be interested?
Which God?
Yes.
No, are you asking me? Do I believe in God? Or no? I'm saying what?
Yeah. So you asked me should I be concerned with a Nephilim? And so I said, well, do you believe in God?
That's not an answer.
Like, depending on your answer, that
yeah.
I'm answering your question with a question. Motherfucker.
This same guy read your Bible, Tyler. This Jose, he's the same guy that believes in agorism. So I don't think I'm going to go there.
So if you believe in God, which I assume, Tyler, you might,
yeah,
then you should explore, you should study the Nephilim. So you don't know anything about them?
What am I? No, I don't.
Motherfucker. Okay, so I give you the dicky notes on Nephilim. So basically, have you ever heard of the Book of Enoch? I do know my stuff. So have you heard of the Book of Enoch?
Yes.
Of course. So you know Enoch, the book was removed from canon. So basically throughout that book, through the first Book of Enoch, which is written by the actual the father of Methuselah, Enoch, thank you, Jose. So he writes about the story of the Watchers. The Watchers, basically, when God created the earth and Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and then eventually cast out, the Watchers were within the realm of the heavens that they could observe the earth and protect the earth, guard the earth, watch humanity, and make sure they were okay. So the Watchers, basically, which they were angels, and they were tempted by Lucifer to go down and interfere with humans. So basically what they saw was humans can have marriage. We are not allowed to have marriage. That's pretty cool. What we should do is go down and subvert. Yeah, pretty much, dude, except they could fly and they were actually fit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So so basically what they did was they wanted to subvert the earth. They could only do so illegally because the earth was made for humans. Angels cannot rule the earth by themselves. They have to rule the earth by proxy, which would be through humans. So what they did was they, as the gods, they came down and said, hey, humans, like, hey, you know, kings and whatever, if you give us your daughters in marriage, we will show you all the secrets of the universe and all of our technology and secret things that have been withheld from you. And so, of course, the kings and the great, you know, rich men and everything, they thought it was an honor for the gods to, you know, want to give them a deal like this, because all they know is like heavenly beings coming down. And so they freely give up their daughters. Their daughters are probably enthusiastic at this too, because imagine like, you live in the Middle East and you see like 5 foot tall brown dudes all the time. Well, fucking Thor, the god of thunder, comes down and says he wants to marry you. So of course you take that offer.
Right.
So they marry the Watchers.
Thor just being some random guy from Norway that happened in the Middle East. Gotcha. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, you know, nowadays they have weak jawlines and things like that. They're half Arab, so probably something like that, you know. So they marry the humans. And the reason that this is important, which a lot of people, they think that the angels came down and raped the humans and made babies. That's not the case. Well, they actually had to come down and marry them.
This sounds like Palestine and Israel once again. So, by the way, you're going to war. This always cracks me up, okay? You're going to war. You're storming in there. You're coming in on a hang glider or it's Normandy or whatever. You see a lady there and you're like, you know what I need right now? I've got a boner suddenly and I'm going to spend some time raping this. That, I don't know. I'm not a rapist. You know, color me.
Bulls of war.
But is that adrenaline just so much that you're just like raping a constant?
Actually, yeah. So
that's a lot of work.
So there's an actual scientific phenomenon to that. Like there's a certain level of stress that your body outputs, especially when it has to do with adrenaline and like conflict and like battle or like a combat scenario, to where you'll get the fucking most raging hard on afterwards. So that's why like, oh, I just seized this whole town. Now there's a bunch of available women where all the men are dead. So let's, you know,
okay,
have some fun.
I don't know. I'm in a lot of stressful situations.
I didn't know I was dealing with it.
Never had the boner. Matter of fact, the boner has given me some stressful
afterwards,
situations.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Are you done with the
yes.
Nephilim?
I didn't know. No, I didn't know I was dealing with a fucking ADHD grandpa here. So I have to tell the fucking story here, dude.
Okay. I kind of know what
you can't just
kind of know. I just wanted to see how quick you can give me that stuff.
You can't just ask me the Nephilim question and let me half bake it, bro. So like, okay. They come down, they build the civilizations, they build their temples, and they worship, like, the actual gods on Earth. So, like, for example, if you have the Temple of Apollo, you could go in and worship Apollo, but he's actually there. Like, he's, you know. And so they made these half-breed giant children, and eventually they got out of hand, and they consumed the Earth, and they couldn't be, like, satisfied, and that's why the Earth got kind of bad, and God sent the flood, boom, reset, all that kind of shit. So that's the story of the Nephilim. And then some of them survived the flood somehow, one way or another.
That was going to be the question.
They had some watered down, half-assed version of that. And that's how we have, one, the giants of the Old Testament, And two, the demons that you see today, which were the spirits of the dead Nephilim in the flood, they had to go somewhere. And since they were kind of a half-breed thing, they kind of were in limbo.
Gotcha. Minder says, Enoch is an apocryphal and extra-canonical source of the legend of the Nephilim, the Watchers, or the Fallen Angels, which appear to parallel or overlap in some respects the Anunnaki
of Sumeria. The Anus were basically to represent the Anunnaki came down, and according to that legend, they created the Anus, which were like the beings that like worshiped them or whatever. So according to those legends, the Anunnaki were the gods that came down and created humanity, which I don't believe in that story. Obviously, I think that's the side of the story that they gave, like the descendants of the Watchers and shit. But it's a similar parallel. It's similar to how other cultures have flood stories and other things like that.
All right. Well, I'm all caught up now. I don't even need to watch Topps and Raven's show. Dave, is it Dave?
You don't need to anymore, dude. I just told you everything. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, check them out. They're pretty cool guys. Their show is very nice. I've gone on before.
Them both. That's fine.
Nephilim Death Squad. That's my shit.
There it is. So we're going to talk about this just shortly. I personally believe that this is your killdozer. And what I mean by that is people are immediately globbing onto this, thinking it's some sort of libertarian hero. And I think he's probably not. One, he's an attorney. So there you go. And two, he's an attorney for a big company. And I think it's kind of a setup. I don't know if we want to read through all this, but I'll just talk.
He's the McCluskeys. He's the McCluskeys, man. That's what he is.
Who's the McCluskeys?
You know, the guy with the pink shirt with the AR and his wife, Walter, who's like pointing around like her. He's them. Well, he's just a dude who's fucking had enough.
I could be, but I didn't think there was any reason to to shoot these people. So, and I know people like eco terrorists, but they weren't even terrorizing anything. They're just locals. Okay, so this guy wants to start out here. He says, why are none of these big profiles with tons of followers talking about who Kenneth Darlington is and who he works for? And why are all media outlets hiding it? And why is it being reported that it's a few climate protesters and not really what it is? There's a lot of stuff to put together on this one, especially, I don't know if I want to read through all this fucking stuff. You know, I'm not going to read that. What I'm going to read instead is my friend who lives down there in Panama. He sent me, let's see if I can find this one. He sent me this quick, here we go. So this is what he said about it. And he had a little video of some locals. So I asked him, hey, come on the show. Let's talk about this. He said, nope, they'll deport me. I don't want to do that. Maybe it'd be a little private. He said, these are the natives that are pushing out of the jungle to take their land for mining. This guy speaks Spanish, but most don't. He had a video of a native guy. That's what he was referring to. It's a whole other language. They are simple people with essentially nothing. This guy is dressed in traditional wear. We have simple clothes, essentially nothing and uneducated. The only thing that they've learned to get the government's attention is by blocking the road. So kind of like Hamas coming in, the only way we're going to get Israel's attention is to take a hang glider.
They're like the aboriginals. The only thing they know how to do is lay in the road because they think it's hot rocks that helps them sleep.
Right, probably. The Panamanians hear their plight, and it's clear the elites are taking all the money and not giving it back to the people. $375 million in a year would make a country with a population of a little over 4 million a wealthy nation. Instead, as usual, the few rolling in yachts while the rest get the crumbs. The teachers that were shot were supporting the natives and trying to get the current corrupt government out. Okay, so you got a corrupt government. This guy comes and shoots them. I support and pray for the people of this country and have grown to love them. They have a fighting spirit that I admire. Their chant is, we are many and we are not afraid. I don't know what that chant would, what kind of rhythm is involved, but they have a chant. Okay. Should they win, it would be a huge example for the rest of the world. Kind of like Malay down in Argentina. But like everywhere else, the globalists will probably win. Panama is a strategic piece of macro world economy. 40% of U.S. food and energy gets to the U.S. through the canal. The CCP belt and road 2.0 needs Panama. Like many things happening in the world today, I feel like these things are being allowed to happen with nefarious intentions hiding in the shadows. The blockades for the protests came all too quickly and very coordinated. There's money supporting all this to happen. It was, I've seen a bunch of videos of this guy before he shoots. It was almost like he was looking for cameras or photographers. I don't know. Interesting take either way.
If he did, it worked. It's a dope ass photo.
Yeah. By the way, that is the shell getting shot up by your face. That's pretty stellar there. So
high definition too in Panama. Right. Damn, right. Dude. He found like the one like actual camera there. Yeah, better technology than me.
So my friend is it's a friend I went to high school with. He made a lot of money in the U.S. And then and when COVID hit, he lived here in California. Shit was getting bad. And he's like, he was starting to get this red pill thing because he'd kind of been a liberal before that. Moves to Idaho, gets really like red pilled. Now he's kind of like conservative guy. And then he's like, he says, even Idaho's too much. So they moved to Panama and they're young kids. And so they've been living there. He's come back a few times. I've seen him. So he lives a nice life down there because they had a lot of money, moved down there. It's somewhat cheap. But he does send me pictures and videos every once in a while where there's really long gas lines. So that it, and I'm like, I don't know if you're trying to, it's not really selling me on the place. But what do you think of moving to Panama at some point?
No.
Okay. Do people blocking your movement preventing you from leaving meet the legal criteria for kidnapping? Yeah, it's yes, that's what it is.
That's what happens when you block.
He could have turned around though and gone the other way. So, yeah, entrapment.
Yeah, but why should he have to?
Yeah. Well,
it's like
I get it. The blocking the roads is the worst type of protest. To me, that feels like you're going to lose local support when you do that. The ecos,
yeah,
they love
like
to do that
the whole article, explaining themselves like, oh, they were blocking the roads to stand with the natives because the government's corrupt. I mean, yeah, I couldn't make up any instance where the government is corrupt and it's fucking me or fucking my friends over. I'm not going to go stand in the road over it. I don't really care if the natives are so stupid that all they know how to do is stand in the little road. Like, sorry, bro. Like, life goes on. Not everybody lives like they do, and not everybody lives like you. So don't fucking block my movement where I'm going. And like that dude probably just had enough of life in general. So he just, that was the last straw.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a little bit more than that. There was no need for him to, you know, ruin his life to do that. I don't know. What do you think about the killdozer guy? Would you, if you're this guy, would you go and wrap a bulldozer in armor and have a bunch of weapons and just try to destroy a town? Do you think that's what you should do?
I mean, if I was that guy, I mean, I've read the story of him a while ago. I don't remember every exact detail about it, but I mean, why did the guy do it again? What was his core reason for doing so? And also,
oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the fact that he had enough time to create such a thing and he was willing to do so showed that he didn't have much to lose at that point, right? So if he lost like the last thing he had at the hands of the government, so he claims, then I mean, if I was him,
yeah,
and I didn't have anything else to like live for, I mean, sure.
Yeah. So that's what's interesting is that's what he claims, but when you dig into it, that's not at all. Matter of fact, he could have sold his business, making a huge profit. His best friend is like, he just turned fucking crazy. He was telling his girlfriend and his best friend that and there's a video of him at the end talking about this, that God has told him this is what he's got to do. So he didn't like the people next to him. It wasn't a business. I mean, it wasn't the public, like the town. It wasn't over regulation. He had gone, tried to have lawsuits with these people and he had lost. And they put in a play. He literally was crazy. And then he tries to take it out in the town. And then you got your Lulberts that are like, yeah, this is our guy. And I'm like, okay, perhaps.
If I was schizo, I would do it too. Sure, right on.
Right. So perhaps the libertarians that love this guy are crazy. So there you go. Anything else before we head out? Because I got a video from our buddy Raven posted it up, and I'm going to play it because it's fantastic, and then we'll be out. But anything else you want to talk about before we do it?
No, I don't think I have anything. I mean, I had something earlier that I totally forgot about. Okay. So it's okay. Next time, I'm sure I'll probably holler about it on your show. Or whenever I finally go on Kyle's show, which he's been ragging me about, I'll probably bring it up then.
Kyle's not inviting me on. I think it's a discrepancy in family law. It's because I'm a cuck. I think that's the reason why.
It's because you're a cuckold. That's right, man. You're raising another man's children.
I sure am. He's not doing it. So I don't know. He probably like, look, he's okay because he's just left his kids. Meanwhile, I'm the bad one because I have enough money and love to take care of these kids.
We had a disagreement the other day. He said he didn't like Zeppelin, so I wanted to have a fight with him for that one. But I don't know. Do you like Led Zeppelin, Tyler?
They're perfectly fine. I'm not a huge fan. Plant is Page. I mean, that's good stuff.
So. Yeah, like I'm not like a diehard fan of Zeppelin like I am with like Sabbath or whatever, but like they're like important metal pioneers. Like they're fucking awesome, man. Whole Lot of Love is a groove, man.
Yeah,
I don't have eight kids just from listening to that song.
they have great music, and I think it's a good stuff. Good stuff to have. I'm more of a Pink Floyd, lover that I'd really go down that road. So that's what it is. Okay. I think that's let's
go down this road. We've asked you to please, keep restraining yourselves, and would be helpful so we can hear the candidates because these are important issues, and the voters want and need to hear them.
Well, there you go. I don't know why he had to say that, but there you go. That's all I've got. So next week, I had everything queued up here. Andy was supposed to call in, and he didn't because I was going to be able to take a phone call. But that's you want to plug anything before we head out?
I ain't got shit, man. I'm not doing nothing. I updated my bio to say retired, producer. So all I do, man, I come on the occasional podcast, talk a little shit.
You do.
Repost the homies. I'm kind of just retired from creating content on Twitter. I still have to, finish my my autistic thread of metal albums that I like. But I mean, that's it, man. I'll plug my Twitter, pine_barons. Follow me there if you're not already. If you're watching this show, I don't see why you wouldn't be. But we have fun on podcasts. That's pretty much all I do these days.
Yeah. And I only do this because it's fun too. So I'm going to just keep trying to do Friday nights. We get a good enough people here on the live show. And when Andy should be coming on someday, he's got a girlfriend now. So he's really involved and he's got a job. So between the two of them, that's what we got. So people, all those that have held on, I'm going to play this video. It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It's a music video. It comes to us straight from Australia. It's pretty fantastic. So, other than that,
Land down under.
Yeah, down under. So other than that, Dickie, thank you. And everybody else, we'll talk to you later.
When my roommate comes into the room looking for his car keys, I don't say it yet. And when he gets me off the couch to check underneath the couch cushions, I don't say it yet. No. And then when he says out loud, I wonder where my car keys are, I still don't say it. I still don't say it yet. But then he asks me, do you know where my car keys are? I look at him in his face and I say, have you checked your bottles? Get up, get up, I have not seen your keys, but since you're asking me,
you better check out that
bottle. Because I'm not serious, I don't think it's up inside your big brown business. But a funny thing to say to someone who's lost their shit and is stressed out visibly, when I see the best man start to sweat, I don't say it yet. When I see that little ring bearer cunt getting yelled at by his mum, I still don't say it. When I see the groom asking the vicar if they can wait just another 15 minutes, I do not say it.
Skip up now.
And when the father of the bride starts organising an ad hoc emu bop of the courtyard area, I want to, but I do not say it. It's the 11th hour with 300 congregants under God's roof. The vicar approaches the mic and suddenly all of the chatter goes mute. He says that they've misplaced the rings. Could anyone possibly know where they are? I know it's my time and all heads turn as I stand and say, vicar!
you jacked your butthole. Tee up, butthole. I have not seen your ring, but have you checked your ring?
My ring on me butthole.
Love is patient, love is kind, but if you ask me where you can find literally anything you've lost before, I'm gonna suggest that it's up your butthole.
Where's my phone?
Is it up your butthole?
I lost my loan.
Have you checked up your butthole?
I'm losing my patience.
Check your ears.
Where is your class?
You suck up your ass.
I just lost my grandma. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Are you capable of not saying she's up my asshole?
Of course, my condolences.
I'm not looking for a silly joke right now.
Yeah, yeah. What are you looking for? Honestly, just like a shoulder to
cry. How can you check your butthole? Skid up, butthole. Maybe you find your dead grandma up there too. I fucking got you, butthole. My family hate me. This might be the reason that I've got no close friends. Fucking was a baby.
Okay, I'm leaving now, bye guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but... but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, so I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janke, yeah.
Yeah, I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But anyways...
Boomer.